Praises to your name, O Lord. sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be. I sing praises now. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be. Let's sing it again. I sing praise. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great to be praised. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Amen. That's what we've come. We've come to praise his name. Give him glory. Give him honor. Amen. He's worthy of it. Amen. Those on the internet as well, God bless you. It's good to have you joining us this morning. I see there's a number of people away, so I'm just going to ask you to sing 10% more. All right? Help me out. Sean, if you can give me just a tad in my monitor for me, just help me out. It'd be great. Let's sing Glory to His Name, number 2213.
Well, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Safe from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, oh glory to his name. Oh glory to his name. Yes, glory to his wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Yes, glory to his name. And oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Oh, glory to his name. Yes, glory to his name. Glory to his wonderful name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Now come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Just cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Oh, glory to his name.
Sing it now.
Oh, glory to his, glory to his name. Oh, glory to his wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to him. Oh, yes, so name, oh glory to wonderful name, oh there to my heart was the blood applied. Lord, one last time, yes, glory to his name, oh glory to wonderful name. Apply glory to his name. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and worn, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Well, just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. Yes, the saints on every hand are shouting victory. Songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Well, they're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Why don't we thank him this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm just passing through. Amen. I like to sing that little chorus. He's able, more than able. As we get ready to go to prayer, we have a number of prayer requests that we want to take to our Lord this morning. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Yes, he is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Oh, he is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Sing it again. Oh, he is able. He accomplish what concerns me today.
Aren't you glad for that?
Oh, He is able, oh, more than able to handle anything that comes my way.
Brother Jeremy, Brother Jeremy, if you'd come, brother, and just open the service in prayer. We want to remember, there's a number away, the drums. Karen, Brother Karen, David, Josh, Kristen, Brother Keith, and Sarah, Troy and Connie Hughes, we just want to remember them as they're not here. Brother Dale Braggs, we had prayer for him. Sister Carrie Whitlock's father, he's home from the hospital. We want to thank the Lord for that. Amen. Just touching him. It was a complicated surgery. Also, Brother John Mail, he's on call this morning. Mitchell's having to work. And Brother Jeremiah Shedfield's at home, not feeling well. Our Brother Wellington has a prayer request here. Please pray for my wife. She has a headache. And for my son, he has a persistent cough. So we just want to remember that need in prayer. And also, Sister Shirley, we want to lift her up as well. She's not feeling good this morning. Sister Cindy has just a number of prayer requests here for family. I want to remember her sister. She's back in hospital. I believe that's Connie, with complications from last week's surgery. So remember her. And also Kathy is going through radiation treatment for stage 4 cancer. And then also her niece is having her large intestine removed in a couple of weeks. So she just asked that the church would just remember her family in prayer. Amen. A lot of needs. And if you have a need on your heart, just raise your hand to our Heavenly Father. I'm so thankful that I have a God who's alive and well this morning. Amen. He saw your hand, your need, before you even raised your hand. So He knows. Amen. Brother Jeremy, if you come.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we approach You humbly this morning, Lord. Your word tells us, Lord, to bring our needs to You, Lord, to make our petitions known, Father. But first, Lord, we just want to give You thanks. Lord, we thank You for providing for us. We thank You for making a way through Calvary, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are the high priest. Lord, You know each of our needs personally, Lord. Lord, You know our inner thinking, Lord, our hearts. You know our heart's desire, Lord. There's nothing that's too great for You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for providing healing. We thank You for our salvation, Lord. We thank You for this place to come and worship. Lord, we thank You for the blood of Christ that forgives our sins. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for fellowship. Lord, we thank You for the communion that we have with You, Lord. We thank You above all, Lord, that You went to the cross for us and provided all these things, Lord. It wouldn't be possible without that. And we thank You for that sacrifice, Lord. Father, we take all of our needs now and we lay them before You, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord, there's nothing too great for You, Lord. For us, often, Lord, it feels overwhelming. But, Lord, it's all in Your hands. So, Lord Jesus, we give it to You in confidence, Lord, knowing that Your perfect will be done.
Yes.
We take comfort in that. We take peace. Lord Jesus, we love You, and we just invite You to come now. Be with us this morning in our worship, Lord. We want to pour out our hearts to You, Lord, and just we desire that it would be a sweet savor unto You, Lord. Lord, and as we worship, Lord, and just we pray that the atmosphere would be pleasing, that Your Spirit would come. And Lord, as the minister prepares, Lord, and has sought your mind, I pray, God, that he would just be a tool in your hands, Lord, that you could minister unto us, Lord. Give us that which we have need of. Lord, encourage us where we need that. Lord, bring healing and deliverance. Lord, a word, Lord, of guidance. Lord, we just look to you and believe, Lord, that your perfect will be done. Lord, we give this time into your hands. We ask that you use the musicians, the song leader. Lord, use them for your purpose, I pray, O God. Lord, and Lord, we just invite your holy presence now to come be with us. We love you. Lord, we give you all the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thanks, Brother Jeremy. Why don't you turn around and shake hands with somebody near you? It's the best thing you can say is God bless you. Amen. As you're seated. Amen. Sister Anna's going to come and bless us with a special as she comes. Just have one announcement. On June 1st will be the last day of Sunday school. So for all you that are involved with Sunday school, June 1st is the last day. So you just mark that on your calendars. Why don't you come, Sister Hannah?
gonna see your victory. You're gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. We're gonna see a victory. We're gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Anna. If we could have the brothers come and we'll take up the offering at this time. Above all powers, the key of G.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Father, I pray that you just bless this service, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering for what it's used for, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Above all power, above all king, above all and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what your worth. Thought of me above all crucified, oh crucified, laid behind a stone, Lord, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall, and you thought of me. Let's stand as we sing it again. Oh, crucified, yes, crucified, laid behind a stone, Lord, you live to die, rejected. And alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, Lord, you took the fall. Thank you, Lord. You thought of me above all one last time. Oh, crucified, laid behind a stone. You took the fall, and
God of me above all. Oh, crucified, laid behind a storm, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and you thought of me above all.
It's a good atmosphere to pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity we have to be able to come, be able to approach your throne, to think about how all those many, many years the children of Israel watched the high priest go into the throne and wonder what it would be like behind that curtain, behind that veil. And now we have this opportunity today, Lord, to come and to bring our petitions to you. And we're not depending on someone else, Lord, but we're able to approach your throne of grace and mercy and to be able to bring those things that are upon our hearts and just lay them at your feet. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'd be attentive, Lord, to the cry of every soul here today. May, Lord, you speak to our hearts and comfort us with your presence, Lord. And may your peace and your grace, Lord, be extended to each one that's not here today. And those that are sick and those that need a touch from you, Lord, we place them into your hands. How we love you and how we thank you, Lord. And we approach your throne just humbly, Lord, and just gently as we come before you and pray that you'd look at us through the blood of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Lord Jesus, I pray that you come and do a special blessing today, Lord, among us. And Lord, make your presence very real. We love you and we thank you, Lord, and commit each one into your hands in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Musicians, we'll give you your moment just to grab your seats there. We appreciate all of you being here today. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Good to have you here today. Good to have Brother Taylor back with us today. And each and every one of you, may the Lord be with you. Good to have everyone. Brother, I don't know if we got mentioned about Brother David Cockman. Had a spell this week and with his gallbladder and still not feeling well. Sister Jessie and Sophie are gone to New York. But David is home alone and Noah is looking after him. How's that going? Sister Jessie assured me that Noah would be with Brother David all the time and looking after him, so we're confident that everything is just going to be great. So Brother Ben and Sister Sharon are away today for their anniversary, and we certainly miss them. Also as well, for the ARC trip, the deadline is Wednesday for you to get in on the block for registering for hotel rooms, so you might want to be mindful of that if you haven't made registration yet for motel. Also as well, I don't know if it got mentioned, but the Cross family are not here today. They're not well, all out and streaming, so we certainly do miss them. we want to welcome the Milan family. We've really enjoyed having the Milans with us, and it's been a blessing, and they're here from New Zealand until Tuesday, and we're certainly going to miss them when they're gone. They've been at our house, and it's just been a blessing to be able to fellowship with them. And you folks will remember Brother Ulrey, who is our good friend from New Zealand, and that's their pastor. And so make sure you tell Brother Ulrey, God bless you, and give him our best and our love. Great brother. Now, I wanted to take a couple of moments here, and I need Brother Aaron. There he is. May 20th is Mitchell and Megan's anniversary, right? How many years? Two? 2 years. Wonderful. May 26th is Sister Tina Knobloch's birthday. And there's just something special about May. It just is. And so Sister Tina's birthday is the 26th. Mine is the 28th. 29th is Sister Karen's birthday. You may be wondering how old I am. And May 31st is Annie Mail's birthday. I'm not sure if there she is. Annie, how old are you going to be on your birthday? 7 years old. God bless you, Annie. And also, that's the Stevens' anniversary, right? How many years? 17 wonderful years. David waited. He practiced that all year to say it just like that. God bless you both. We appreciate you. Appreciate you both. June 1st is the McCafferty's anniversary as well. These are two dates there that you want to make note of. September 25th, 27th is the men's meeting. We got quite a lineup for ministry this year, and that registration is going to open and close very quickly. So when we announce that registration, we usually give you guys a little heads up for that. So it'll be the 25th to the 27th, and then the winter youth retreat will be the 29th. Can you believe we're noting events that take place in 2026 already? It's almost unbelievable. But we are glad to have those events coming up. They're going to be special. Good to have Peter and Rachel back. Brother Tom and Sister Kim are traveling this afternoon back. Luke Haley and Grace are going to Europe this afternoon. So we got a lot of traveling going on. Brother Aaron, come on up here. Brother Aaron is our officially designated coordinator of missions. Good to have the Munches here. Sister Jane, we've been praying for you. Good to see you here today. We do a lot in missions, a lot we don't always talk about, but Brother Aaron is kind of has been a natural helper with missions since he came. And it's one of the hats that he wears. It's one of the things that he does. And he has such a wealth of contacts in Africa, in different parts of the world. He's becoming well known in different places. He's going to be leaving us to go on a trip to South Africa, to Tanzania, and to Ethiopia. God's doing great things in Ethiopia, and we're going to be working there with the brothers in the future. But this is a project that we did, and it's completed. And I wanted Brother Aaron just to walk through a couple of pictures here, if you will. So if you do that for us and fill us in on where this is and who these people are.
Amen. Good morning. First of all, happy birthday, Brother Barry. Really appreciate you so much.
Not my birthday yet.
I know. All right. So we've been doing a couple of mission projects, my Brother Barry and team, and we've been trying to revamp and streamline the way we do missions and just do full-blown, you know, project-by-project approach, and then just have, like, things in the pipeline and just been able to, you know, channel funds and reconcile monthly basis and make sure that, you know, everything is taken good care of. And I want to thank Brother Barry for his leadership. So one of the projects that we've been doing among many is, like, when we help, you know, groups that don't have like a place of worship, when they are maybe worshiping under a tree or something like that, in different parts of Africa or South America. So this is one group. We send them Bibles. Some years, I think a year or 2 years ago, we've sent them Bible. They've been having revivals, and, you know, God has just been blessing the assembly. And as part of the efforts, one of the chiefs in that village converted to the message, and he allocated the group a piece of land, and they were just so revived. It's in a place called Igomombe Village in the Zishawane, that's like Midlands, part of Zimbabwe, and that's the local pastor there, the man in suit, and that the picture on the right, left, sorry, that's when we were sending them Bibles and books. And so
the tree where they...
Yes, so they would gather on that, under that little tree over there every Sunday. So just been exposed to all kind of elements of the weather. So they you know, went down to work and started making bricks and buying some if they had resources. And we've been in contact with them. So this is the progress. That's a few months back when the local pastor was laying a page of the Bible on the cornerstone right there. and just doing, you know, in faith. So they got a piece of land next to the school. As you can see that building over there, that's the school for the village. So that's where they got a piece of land from the chief, and that's the progress that they made. And we helped send them funds, and they, you know, went straight to work, and that's them. That's the picture of the building as it was progressing. And this was last week when they were putting the roof. And the picture on the, I think it's the next picture, that's the current stage. So they, it's almost complete. We can say from a missionary perspective, it's complete. They have a roof. They can worship. They don't have to worry about the sun or the rain. So thank you so much, and I appreciate all your help. God bless you.
God bless you. That's wonderful. We like to see a project go from start to finish there and document it. And for the people, you know, who are worshiping under a tree, I preached under trees before. And, you know, the chickens walk through and the dogs walk through and the rain comes. But even worse than that, the people, like the community members, they'll walk by, and sometimes they'll even mock the people who are under the tree. And they say, in their way of thinking, they'll say, "Oh, your God is not so great. He can't provide you a place to worship. You know, you're just under a tree." And then to see this development, you know, is just a great blessing for the people there locally. And we're just honored to be able to help them. Now, this morning, brothers sent around a little quote. And we have a little mission thing that we have with the ministers around the world. And they sent this quote, and I thought I'd just share it with you this morning. Brother Bram said, "It's a fine thing when I can come to the house of the Lord. I can be so tired, worn out, upset, but just let me get to the house of the Lord where all the saints are gathered and praying, and I go to feeling better right away. There's something soothing about it. Don't you think so, brethren? Something that just soothes and seems to iron out all the wrinkles, and you're just satisfied." Let's stand to our feet. Now, we want to take a little reading here. We're going to do several readings, but I want to take Hebrews chapter 2 first of all, because we're going to deal with this scripture, Hebrews chapter 2. Today you're going to need your Bible. Hold on to it, because we're going to look at a couple of passages of scripture here. And I want to just say personally thank you for the response that I got from Wednesday night, and made an apology, got prayed for my healing, sang four songs, and we were out by 8:30. And I appreciate the comments that were made. Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 9, if you will. Now, our title this morning is Living in Agreement with God, and we've been talking about this idea of trust and trusting God. And Matthew 6:33, where Jesus encouraged us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. So I want to continue that theme this morning. Verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying," this is Isaiah chapter 8, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." May the Lord add his blessing this morning. You may be seated. Now, let's title this, Living in Agreement with God. And I want to start by saying this, that trust is a very interesting thing. Trust is a very powerful thing. And there's a difference between believing and trusting. And I appreciate, have so appreciated all these young people that have decided to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the waters of baptism. I think it's a wonderful thing. We're going to be baptizing Catherine Pritchard today, and we're thankful for that. Next Sunday, we'll have a baptism as well. And for folks who are not here, and we're so thankful for the way that God is moving in the lives of our young people, and to see them place their trust in God. Now, there is a good story that illustrates the difference between believing and trusting. And I've told you that story before, and it is a story of a man who was a tight walker. He was a professional tight walker and tightrope walker. And which is a really strange and a weird thing to do, to walk on a rope across a distance on a great height. I don't have any of those genes in me to want to do that. But there was a man by the name of Pierre Blondin, who was a tightrope walker, and he lived here in North America. And one of his most famous feats that he did was to string a wire across Niagara Falls and walk across it. And some of you may have seen, if you go to Niagara Falls, if you ever are there and you have an opportunity to stand behind all those Japanese people and look over their shoulders and see where the falls actually is, the corner of the falls on the Canadian side, it is just extraordinary to feel the power and the spray that comes from the falls. It's such a mighty thing. The statistics say that if you took all the Coca-Cola that was ever manufactured in history and put it over the falls would be dry in 3 minutes. Wow. Who they are, we don't know. Probably the people who manufacture Pepsi. But nonetheless, there's a massive amount of water that goes over the falls, and it's just always a striking place to go and visit. Now, Blondin was not a humble kind of a guy. He was a loud, flashy kind of a guy, and he often made a great show of his daring feats to walk across Niagara. Well, he had done it once, and he was going to do it again. And when he did it the second time, there was a large crowd that were gathered on the Canadian side, and Blondin got up in front of them, and they announced that he was going to, you know, walk across the falls at like 2:00 in the afternoon. So it was a massive crowd there, and the people were all pretty excited because they wanted to see this. They knew he had done it once, and they wanted to see it again. And so he got up in front of the crowd and worked the crowd up and said, you know, I'm the great Blondin, and I'm able to go over the falls and so forth. And finally he asked the question. He said, how many of you believe that I can walk across this falls? And the people all went, yeah, we do. Everybody was amening him and believing that he could. And he said, how many of you believe that I can take this wheelbarrow and walk it across on the wire? And they all said, yeah, we believe you can do it. And then he asked the question, he said, all right, which one of you in the crowd today would like to get in the wheelbarrow? And the crowd went silent. There was not a peep. And there's a difference between believing and trusting, right? They believed he could do it, but trusting him to do it with them in the wheelbarrow is a different story. And so Blondin just waited, and he didn't know what the response was going to be, and he just waited. And finally, one man came out of the audience and stood up and said, I'll go in the wheelbarrow. And it happened to be Blondin's manager. And the manager, he knew that Blondin could do it, but he trusted that Blondin could get him across on the other side. And he climbed in the wheelbarrow, and sure enough, they went across on the other side. Now, there's a lot of people in life who have a belief in God. But that's a different thing than actually trusting God for the very things that you have need of in life. There's a big, big difference there, because it's not a hard thing to say that you trust God, or sorry, that you believe in God. I mean, all you people that have been coming to church all your life, you've heard stories about God, you've heard the scripture, you've heard all the experiences that people of God have. But it's a different thing when it comes down to you and your experience and your life and your catastrophe and your time that you need to put your whole trust in God. And that, when a person has that kind of an experience, it changes them. John, would you come up? I'm going to ask Brother John to come. On Friday night, we had the privilege to take the Milans up to Blowing Rock, and Brother John's sister Laura came with us, and we were really blessed. They were following from New Zealand the story of what happened to Brother John in the motorcycle accident, and they wanted to ask John some of the details and so forth, which he did and told the story. And it's just, well, you know, you have to stand back and think how amazing the whole story was and the great blessing that it is for us to have him here today. And he added a little part, and I just wanted, John, if you would, just to share that a little part that we talked about today and what that all meant to you.
God bless you all. I won't be able to say this without crying, I'm sure. But after the accident happened, I was in and out of the hospital, lots of complications. I would get better, I'd get worse, I'd go back in and out. I finally got home, and I was barely even able to dress myself. So one afternoon, I was sitting at the end of the bed. I don't know if it was evening. I'm not sure when it was. But I was trying to get dressed, and my wife was in the room, and we were talking. And it just hit me all of a sudden, the whole thing. While I was in the hospital, I had this trust, as Brother Barry said, that I never thought I would die. I don't know why. Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe it was the Lord keeping me there. But I never thought. They kept asking me coming in, and I just kept saying, no, I'm not, you know. I don't feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to get better. So anyway, we're sitting there, and I realized a marriage is, a sacred thing. And when you pick a mate, and I'm kind of talking to the young people now, you have to know that they have your back. You know, I have my wife's back. She has my back. Well, you don't really know until you put that to test.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you think, and, you know, it's kind of the same way with God sometimes. You know, you think he's there. In the back of your mind, you're like, God, I hope you're there. You know, you're saying that. I mean, I'm just being honest as a Christian. And so my wife is such a blessing. You know, I think God had gave her to me a while back because of this moment. And I was just sitting there thinking, this woman put her whole life on hold. She didn't quit her job. She left her job. She slept in a chair. She was in the hospital 24/7 with me, taking care of me. I mean, she did such a good job that the doctors would come in and say, are you a nurse? You know, because she was at questions that, you know, that medical people would ask. So anyway, I'm thinking, what a blessing. You know, it was very humbling at that moment. I just broke down crying. And she's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I was like, nothing's wrong. It just dawned on me how this, you know, how what you did for me was such a sacrifice. And you did it gladly. And that's kind of the way the Lord is, you know. There's days we're busy. We may not pray. We may not, we may not read our Bible. Sometimes we take our spouse for granted. Sometimes we take God for granted.
Sure.
So in that moment, it was so humbling to know that this woman had put her whole life on hold just to take care of me. And that's what God does for us. I mean, he's always there. He's in the background. So to go along with what Brother Barry's talking about, you know, one, my trust was greatly, you know, enhanced, and my faith was deepened just knowing that in the greatest time of need that he's there. Because of what happened, the accident, I literally should not be here today. So hope that blesses somebody. God bless you all.
Thank you.
We all had tears in our eyes in the restaurant, just, you know, listening to Brother John talk about that and share that story with us. And it's just so true. But it becomes even more true when you go through a traumatic event and you go through a loss and you go through, the different things that life will throw at you. And it's just a really personal thing. So can I talk about trust for a few minutes this morning? Don't want to be long here. Brother Branham says, now, may men and women tonight catch the vision and understand what God's program is for this last day. That's all we need to do, is just get into his program, and then the other things will take care for themselves. And he taught us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. I was thinking this week about Abraham and how that God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred and so forth, and go to a land that I will show thee. And he was simply saying to Abraham, I want you to seek first the kingdom. I want you to put the kingdom first in your mind now. Let everything else go. Let everything else remain behind and seek the kingdom first. And I will bring you to that city that I have promised for you. And Abraham did that, and God blessed him greatly. Now, there's five things that I want to just lay down here at the beginning this morning that will kind of be pillars for us to build on here. Number one, that in the time we're living in, Brother Branham helps us to understand that God is actually loosening up the church everywhere and getting it in order, giving it rapture faith, rapturing faith before it can go in the rapture. So God is not intimidated by how firm a grip you have on the life you live. He's loosening everything up everywhere in order for the bride to get in order. Can you say amen? And the Holy Spirit's at work doing that. So you might have thought you'd be a Baptist forever or a drug addict forever, or you might have been a Pentecostal forever or whatever else. But God has his ways of loosening the church and bringing them to where they need to be. And that's what's happening. That's happening all over the world. And God is moving nations into position. God's moving people into position. God's moving governments. God's moving armies. All these different things. God's moved Jews from all over the world and loosened up those countries in order to bring them back to Israel. I think of all the Russians who were in there behind the Iron Curtain and had no right or had no ability to leave Russian countries. And God loosened it up and got all the Jews back in Israel where they needed to be. And so that's what we see happening in our time. The second thing I want to say is that the goal is this, is that he wants to bring his subjects to him now. This is not the time to be planting. This is not the time to be watching her grow. But this is the time to retrieve the bride from the earth, from the cosmos, and bring her back in the glory. How many can say amen? So God is doing all of this in order to bring us to him and to live with him forever. And that's what's taking place. The third thing I want to say is that from the early church to the bride age, God had a message for every dispensation. But in the last age, it's different. He said, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. That was for Pentecost. But this is for the bride, the going home of the bride. So we got something different. He said, we're in the bride age. You need to understand that what the Holy Spirit allows you to hear and what's being presented to you, not only here, but, you know, in your own personal devotions and in other sermons that you hear and so forth, and we're able to connect and hear lots of different good ministries around the world. God is doing all of that to bring you something that is unique, that no other age was blessed to hear, because this is for your going home. This is preparing you to leave here. Can you say amen? And that's what God is doing. The fourth thing I want to say, and I thought this was really a good quote, the way he said it. In true vine and a false line, Brother Branham said, we've been drugged through every school of theology, and one vice versa from the other one. You have different opinions about this and different opinions about that. Well, my pastor says this guy's a devil, and the other one says, well, it's not the Lord, I'll tell you that. And the people don't know what to believe. I'd like to say this morning that there's a lot of people in the world who don't know what to believe. They don't know really what's right because they don't have an absolute. They've been never taught about an absolute, and they're really not sure about what to believe. Is there 3 years of tribulation, 3.5, or is there 7? And is there going to be a millennium? How are we going to get there? There's a lot of things that are not being taught because people are not sure. But I'd like to say this. The bride knows what to believe. The bride doesn't fall into that category. The bride knows what to believe because God has vindicated his word in this last day. And Brother Bram said, you believe God's Bible. That's the thing that's right. And let every man's word be a lie and God's word be true. And if God says it in his word, and he produces it, believe it, and go on, forget the rest of it, and just let God's word be truth. How many can say amen? There's a lot of people in the world that are debating about even whether the message is right. And there's a lot of things that even rise up around the ranks of the message community and say, you know, they'll say, well, what this point of view is wrong. We're right over here, and there's a group over here, and we've had different movements within the community of the ranks of the bride. We've had different ministers rise up and feel like they had all the answers. And there's different teachings that have gone forth. Hey, at the end of the day, you know what really matters is that God's word is true. And you need to stay with God's word. And a lot of people have been beat up by people in the message or people believing the message a certain way. A lot of people have been, I'd even go as far as to say they've been spiritually abused by people within the message. And ministers within the message because, they hammered their point of view home so strongly and made people feel inferior and intimidated if they didn't believe it their way. And cause people a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of people who have drawn back from the message and the truth of God's word. Not because they don't really believe the message, but it's because they don't like what people have done with the message. But you know what I find? That every time I go back to the message and every time I go back to the Bible, it says the same thing. It hasn't changed at all. It says the same thing. And if people can learn to get their eyes off men and put their eyes back on God and make that their priority and seek first the kingdom of God, it'll be a lot smoother for people because you can let the water deflect off you like water off a duck's back, and you can press on. There will be schisms and isms that rise up. There will be differences of opinion. There will be people butting heads. But butting heads only proves who's got the harder head. It doesn't accomplish anything at all. And so therefore, it's important for us to realize that that first paragraph is not just out there in denominations and is not just out there, but even within our ranks of the community here, there are people that will say, well, this pastor is wrong and that guy's wrong. Hey, listen, people may not believe what I believe, but I pray for them anyway, and I pray that God will get us all straightened out because I believe that he'll lose none of his own. No man is able to pluck them out of his hand. And so therefore, I pray that God will bring us all back in the straight and narrow and get us all straightened out because we do know what to believe. We do know what is right and what is true. Number five, I'd like to say that for years and years and years, we knew in part and therefore we prophesied in part. But Paul promised us that when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. And Brother Manning makes this tremendous statement here in 1964. He said, we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication, and then that which is in part is done away. And if that's true, you need to follow that word. You need to put your trust in God. If that's true, you need to learn to walk with him and walk in agreement with God. And so we want to talk a little bit today and just really give examples. And I so appreciated John coming up and just sharing that today because that's a really good example where, a catastrophe strikes that no one is expecting, but God intervenes. God intercedes in that situation there. And we have Brother John with us today, and we're so thankful for that. And Brother Keith, the same way. And we have Wells down here the same way. And lots of other instances where God actually interceded on behalf of his people. And we are so thankful for that. And I believe that prayer makes a difference. And in our assembly, I believe our faith should be a little stronger after having gone through what we've gone through in the last little while. And so therefore, we know in Hebrews chapter 13 that Paul wrote, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't worry about getting things for yourself, but be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And if we know that he's with us, and we know that he's in us, and we know that he's still Jehovah Jireh. How many of you believe he's still Jehovah Jireh? Then he's a provider. He's one that is able to provide for us out of resources that we sometimes have no idea that God has access to. But the earth is the Lord's, right? And the fullness thereof. Now, so what does it mean then to walk in agreement with God? Well, part of it is this. Like Jesus said in John 15, and I had to search long and wide to get this picture here, because whenever you have a three-legged race, and I looked all over the internet, I went all over the internet, everywhere in the internet you could go, and tried to find people in the three-legged race who weren't wearing shorts. And I had to go back, and these are two soldiers from the British Navy who were in a field day exercises, you know, and so forth. Anyway, nonetheless, Jesus said, "If you abide," that doesn't matter at all. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Come on, Cohen, let's do this. Now, me and Cohen are in a three-legged race, right? Are we okay? Okay, you know what we're going to do, right? What foot are we going to lead off with? The left foot? Okay, we're going to lead off with this one, okay? So it's really important that he and I discuss this, because if not, it's not going to be pretty, right? You're going to fall flat on your face, because I'm not going to fall flat on my face. You are going to fall flat on your face, okay? So are you ready? One, two, three. Oh, hold it. He's already got the foot out here, and he said we're going to lead with that. All right, so we're gonna go with the other foot, okay? Ready? One, two, three. There we go. So we got to be able to do it this way. Now, look, thank you. It's really important for us to communicate and to keep our eye, to keep in contact with the other person. Otherwise, it could be really tricky. That's literally what the Greek word means, to abide in me. If you'll walk with me and you'll sync with me and you'll coordinate with me, then we will be able to have success in the journey. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. All right, now let's look at how we do this, all right? Now, in Daniel chapter 1, you know this story. "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." So you notice the little phrase here, daily provision of the king's meat which he drank, which he ate and which he drank. In other words, these are foods that were served to the king, and in order for them to be served to the king, a portion of it was taken and offered to idols beforehand, and this was a ceremony that they went through for all the main meals of their time. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So in order for you to walk in agreement with God, listen, there are times when you've got to walk out of sync with the world around you. So the first thing that helps you to walk in agreement with God is walk out of agreement with the world. You gotta disengage before you can engage with God. Because you cannot do both. You cannot do both. And this is what Daniel knew. In order for me to walk with him, I've got to walk contrary to the world around him. But remember now, this was a risky thing to do, because he's actually saying to the king, "Thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to have anything to do with it." And he backed away from the provision that the king was given to him. So Daniel was trusting that God would see him through. That if Daniel made this stand, if Daniel made this decision and positioned himself this way, then you know what? God is somehow going to have to look after me, because I'm putting my trust in him, right? And so that's how Daniel did it. Now, I want to say this, that in this little next statement here, in presuming, Brother Branham said, there are honest thinking people. These are not bad people, but they're honest thinking people that believe that if they are brought into a certain condition and a certain place and a certain pledge, that's all that God requires. And they live by the Ten Commandments. Something like, some good deed or a good social turn. They give the neighbor something. They presume that that's religion and that's all they have to do. So, you know, we're a people that are mindful of this kind of thing, right? Right. We're a people who, for instance, we responded to the people up in the mountains up there when the hurricane hit, and we did what we could to help them out. You know, providing aid and providing cash and providing a wagon and a tractor and chainsaws and helping the people out. By the way, I wanted to tell you that the gentleman Woodrat, who we never got to meet here at the church, but he was the one who was our liaison between some of the smaller communities up there. Recently, his daughter passed away with cancer on Mother's Day, just this past Mother's Day. His daughter died. And I was very saddened to hear that. But then also, Woodrat himself was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor and has cancer. And I just found that out on Wednesday night. And so I told Brother Jeff, I said, "You find out how we can help Woodrat." And I said, "We will do all we can to to assist him, to encourage him, to pray for him, to supply what he has need of. And I said, if you can get him to come to the church, bring him on to the church. But I said, if he is not able to come, we'll go to his house. We'll go visit him and bring some of the brothers and we'll pray for him. But this is you know, what Brother Branham is saying right here. There's honest thinking people who believe that if I'm in a certain condition. So in other words, if I don't smoke and I don't drink and I'm not wearing a tattoo and I don't carouse and I'm not doing the things that people in the world out there do, and I've done the things that are required of me. In other words, I've been baptized and I've, you know, gone to the communion table and I attend all the church dinners. I'm faithful at Sunday school and all of that. Then really that's all that God requires. And Brother Branham is saying, but how wrong that is, how wrong that thinking is. Because that means that even though all of those things that are on the board and all the things I just mentioned, they're all good things, and they're all things that should be consequent of a relationship with God, none of that replaces a relationship with God. None of that replaces a meeting with God. And for you young people that have been baptized and so forth, it's not just an event where you say, well, you know, so-and-so did it, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, it seems to be the thing to do at HBT these days is to get baptized, so I don't want to be in the minority now. I want to, hey, that's not the way we should be thinking. It should be that a person really feels that deep conviction that they truly are a sinner and they need a Savior. And the only way that they can, make it is to submit their life to Christ, their heart to Christ, and surrender to Him, and ask God for forgiveness of their sins. Because every one of us, as we know, every one of us are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and came to this world speaking lies. And when that strikes a young person's heart, it should be a conviction in their heart that not because anybody else does. But you know what? Even if no one else did, I know that's the Bible, and I know that's right, and I'm going to do it by the grace and the help of God. And I'm going to entrust my life into His care. But it's not just a saying, or it's not just a, this idea, I've checked all the boxes and I've done all these things here. That's not what God's looking at. Remember, God is not looking at your record of conduct. God is looking at your heart. And when He sees that turn to the Lord, that makes a difference here. So in order to walk with God, it's got to be something deeper than just the things on the board here. You would expect that out of people that had Christ in them because, He's compassionate and He's caring and He's one that, is able to be affected by the other things that people go through. And these are the things that would be expected of a Christian, but they don't make you a Christian. Can someone say amen? They don't make you. They don't cause you to be a member of the Bride of Christ. It's your encounter with God that does that. And so therefore, like John says, this then is the message that we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie not and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light, and that's the thing that we want to do, is to be mindful of and walking in the light of the hour and believing that God's going to take care. Now, you remember a little while ago, I put this scripture up on the board in Exodus chapter 4, and this is God and Moses talking at the burning bush, right? You remember that? And Moses answered and said unto God, God's given him the commission. I want you to go down to Egypt and I want you to get all the people out. We're going to go back. This is the time to fulfill Abraham's promise, and we're going to leave Egypt and we're going to go back into the promised land just like I told Abraham. And he says, he tells Moses, he said, I want you to go down. I want you to say this to Pharaoh. I want you to stand in front of Pharaoh and say this. And Moses starts this argument with God. And maybe it didn't come out like an argument. But God's telling Moses what He wants him to do. And Moses is objecting to this. And he's saying, but behold, they won't believe me. Ain't no way. Really? In other words, now I'm sure he didn't say really. Like Brother John says it. I'm sure he didn't say that, but he says, no, they're not going to believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. They're not going to listen to me. You're going to have to send someone else, someone more powerful, or you're going to have to go down yourself and do this. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? So God does not chastise Moses because he says this. Because there's two issues that are at stake here. And the first one is, I'll show you in just a moment here, but the rest of the verse says, The Lord said unto Moses, what is that in thine hand? And he said, well, it's a rod. And he said, throw it down. You give to God whatever you have in your hand, and you watch God do with it what he will do, which is way above and beyond what you could do with the thing in your hand. And that's the whole idea of Matthew chapter 6, isn't it? That if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you make that your priority, then God will add on all the other things. It's a release that allows God to go into action on your behalf when you seek first the kingdom of God. And he sees that seeking first in your heart, that then God's able now to let loose all the resources that he has for you. And I will tell you this, I mean, you can apply that in all kinds of ways and all situations here. You might be sitting here as a young person saying, I'm 18 years old, I'm not married, I'll never be married, I'll have to dress a certain way in order to get, a husband or a wife. I'll have to take this matter into my own hands. And when you say that, God has to sit back and say, well, you know, they're going to do it on their own. And unfortunately, lots of kids have made serious mistakes by taking it into their own hand. But I will tell you this, that if you're single and you're sitting here this morning and you don't know who to marry, you should not worry about that, because there's one who knows the plans that I have concerning you. And I will tell you that God knows best who that person is and where that person is. I've told you before about my own experience that, when I was coming into the message, there was a girl that I knew, and I went with her and I really liked her, and she was a I thought the sun rises and sets in this girl. And I thought when I came in the message, I laid everything down. I laid all my friendships down, including hers. I walked away from everything, from school, from everything I walked away from. But in my heart, humanly speaking, all right? This is not spiritually speaking. This is humanly speaking. I thought, she has to be the one. She has to be the one. And I laid down fleeces. You remember Gideon laid down the fleece of the blanket? Remember he said that? And he said, Lord, if it's wet on one side and not on the other. You remember that? And Gideon picked it up and he looked at it, he laid it down again and laid another fleece before God. And Brother Branham actually says that if you lay down a fleece before, if you're laying down fleeces all the time, it's because of your inexperience. Anyway, I had enough fleeces to be able to outfit the American army, no matter where they were in any post in the world. I laid down enough blankets and fleeces because the first one wouldn't work. I'd say, let me do it again, Lord. And I'd lay down another one. Oh, I must not have heard that one. So I laid down another one. And I kept thinking, oh, wow. It's Lord, bring her in. Save her soul. And Lord, not just for me. Although he knew I was lying. Lying through my teeth. Lord, have mercy upon her. And I had no thought of mercy at all. But you understand what I'm saying. And I thought, oh, this has got to be the will of God. It felt so right. It felt so real. It felt so good. You know what? I was glad I was wrong. But I can only say that now. Back then, I couldn't say that, because there's no hurt like a breakup of maybe your first relationship that you have with somebody. There's no hurt like that. There's no hurt in the world like that. And when you go through that, you feel all the feelings that you have. And I prayed that it would be right, but it wasn't right. And God didn't allow it to be right, because he's got a better plan. And he finally said, hey, relax. Well, yeah, I got somebody way better than this girl right here. And you know what? He was right. But I had to trust in that. And when you seek that first, and all of us single guys, you know, we all make the same statement. I've heard a million guys make the same statement to me. Well, I'm just going to be a single guy, and I'm just going to get an apartment and be by myself and just eat ramen noodles, and that's all I'm going to do. And just go on mission trips and put roofs on buildings for Brother Aaron, and that's all I'm going to do now. I'm finished with girls. That's it. You know, they're 18 years old. I'm finished with girls. That's it. I've heard a million guys tell me that. But you know what? As funny as you may think this is, especially all you guys who are still single over here, they're getting closer really to where God wants them to be. And that is, I'm putting God first. I'm not going to clutter up my life with this and that, and I'm not going to be like a Yahoo that runs after these girls. I'm just going to seek God first. I'm going to pray and read my Bible. And God is saying, hello? That's what I wanted you to do in the first place. Bird brain. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. So in other words, God's saying to Moses, God's saying to Moses here, what do you got in your hand? And he says, a rod, throw it down. Watch what I can do with it. When you give me what you have, I can make something really great out of this. So there's two things here that are at stake. One is faith in God's existence. And Moses didn't doubt that. Moses didn't have any problem with that because he was speaking to the God of creation in the burning bush. This was not an issue. But the second one is the one that we all struggle with. And that is faith in God's trustworthiness. Is he going to do this for me? I believe he did it for Brother Branham. I believe he could do it for Brother Barry. I believe he can do it for Brother Keith. You know, and we think about it that way. But will God do it for me? And very often that's where we falter because we feel like, well, I'm a nobody, you know, and it's never, I don't amount much in the eyes of God. Well, let me give you a little reprieve of that this morning, because if you feel like you're nothing with God, I need you to look at the following picture here. And Brother Branham said in a message called My New Ministry, all signs that he spoke of will follow the believer. All signs that God ever spoke of will follow the believer. And what he did for Sister Hattie Wright, he'll do for you. This is Sister Hattie with her two boys. And what he did for Hattie, he will do for you. What he did for the blind, he will do for you blind. Anything that he's done for anyone else, he will do for you if you'll only believe. Sister Cindy, you know, I mean, we look at the prayer request list, right? And it gets longer and longer, it seems like. Hey, what we need to do is, there's a lot of things that I know Sister Cindy would do for her family if she could. If she could bring healing and relief for those symptoms to her family, I know that she would. That's her heart. But I will tell you, I know one who's a better healer than you. I know one who's a better caregiver than you. And I know one who's a better provider than we are ourselves. What we need to do is trust in him, and you watch what he does. Sister Hattie Wright, all she did was say, Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. And here's Brother Branham saying it again. Unconditional covenant is the name of the sermon. If I ever heard of anybody in my meeting ever making a pull or a strain for money, just pass the collection plate. When the Lord won't supply my needs, then it's time for me to go home. But the Lord will supply. I need you to say that with me. The Lord will supply. Say it again. The Lord will supply. And if I can't trust him for money, how can I trust him for healing? How can I trust him for anything else? I've got to trust him. I've got to trust him. I've got to have confidence in him. Because if I can't trust him for that much, how much, you know, for the funds that I need here, how can I trust him for the other supernatural things that come from God? Now, there's many, many examples here. In Psalm 34, David said, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. I listened to a testimony the other day that somebody told me about a sister who works in Ohio. She's a nurse. She's a daughter of a pastor, and I know her very well, known her for years. And she's a nurse, works at a big trauma hospital over there. And it's one of those places where, like CMC down here in Charlotte, where all the accidents are flown in on helicopters and so forth, and it's near Cincinnati. So right near where the Ark, where we're going to be going. And she said there was a helicopter came in, and there was a rabbi who was brought in. And the rabbi was an old man, and he had heart issues, and so they flew him in, and the son came with the rabbi. And he was in the hospital, and they got him conscious, they got him stabilized and so forth. And the rabbi is just kind of observing and looking around, and this is a little bit unusual, but, he's looking around at all the people that are there. And finally, he says to this sister who's there, she's wearing a skirt, nurse's outfit, but she's got a skirt on. And he says to her, are you a Pentecostal? And she says, no, not a Pentecostal person. I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Pentecostal person. Okay, he doesn't say anything else. Next day, he says to her astonishment, he says, are you in the message? That's where you do that. And she looked at him. She was puzzled. She said, "The message?" And he said, "Yeah, William Branham and that message." And she said, "Yes, I'm familiar with the teachings of Brother Branham." And she, the rabbi asked her this question, which I thought was interesting. "Are you a part of the Voice of God message or the other message?" She was puzzled. She said, "Well, I don't really follow some of the practices of Voice of God." She was just trying to be diplomatic. And she said, "Well, I don't really follow the practices and so forth." And then she asked him, she says, "How do you know? How do you know about us?" He said, "I'm a rabbi." He said, "We study religion. We know exactly what you guys believe. We know exactly what takes place." He said, "We talk about it all the time. This is something that we study because we are familiar with the book." And he says, "We understand the book." And so she got to talking with him and chatting with him and so forth, telling a little bit about her testimony and so forth. The next day he was released. He walks out. As his son is wheeling the rabbi out, he turns back to sister and he says to her, he says, "God bless you. And by the way, you guys got serpent seed right. You're the only ones." "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." The afflictions of the righteous are a serious thing. It is the Hebrew word raw. And it means all of these words that are here: bad, disagreeable, malignant, unpleasant, giving pain, and so forth. And many are the afflictions, the things that the people of God go through, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Do you believe that? The Lord delivers them out of them all. That's what the Bible says. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 49. "For thou art with me. And I am, for that, for, sir, sorry, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And be not dismayed, for I am thy God." You've heard all of these scriptures before. Let's look at that word dismayed. I thought it was really interesting. It means to look at afar off. It means to look away. It means to look in dismay or anxiety. Now think about this for a moment. There are people sometimes that go through things and you can see. You can see in their eye, it's kind of like, I believe the Bible. I believe Brother Branham. I believe the message. Obviously, we believe serpent seed and all those things, but that's for you. Those answers are for Brother Branham. I don't think he could do that for me. And in a sense, their spirit is looking afar off. They're looking away. That couldn't be for me. And the farther off they look, the more anxious they become. Because they feel like, I'm just left to my own resources. I'm left to my own strength here. And for people who suffer with anxiety, they're constantly worrying about the future. It's not the present, it's the future. It's the thing that they think is coming. They think about the thing that might happen. And they're worried about, well, what if? And what would happen if this failed? And so what if I don't make the grade? What will people think? If I have to give a speech, what will people think about it? Because I'm not really good at that. And they're constantly thinking about what lays ahead. They're looking afar off. It's very accurate how the scripture is. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And be not dismayed." God says, listen to me. God says, "I don't want you to think that way. I don't want you to think that that God is way off and you're stuck with your problem and I'm not a resource to thee." This is what he says. "I will strengthen thee." I'm pausing so you can say amen. "I will strengthen thee. And I will help thee. And I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You got to put yourself in here and stop looking afar off and say, he's my present help in a time of need. He's my God that said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's my God who I don't have to go up and bring him down or go down and bring him up. He's nigh, even as close as the breath I breathe. Stop looking afar off. Stop thinking that God is way out there and he doesn't care. I'm telling you this morning, he does care. And he's able to strengthen. He's able to help us. He's able to use his right hand. And the right hand is a source of power that only God has. In other words, I'm just repeating myself over and over again that God wants us to trust in him. He told Joshua the same thing. Joshua 1, be strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded thee. Down in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and be of a good courage and be not afraid, neither be dismayed. In other words, you're going to run into problems. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to have things in your life that are not what you want. I've seen a lot of couples, young couples, and in order for a couple to get married, in these days we're so spread out and we're so international and we're so guys meet girls at a camp and they've come from all corners of the earth and so on. And, when you have two young people that get married, one of them's got to move, right? Because it just don't work if one is in one state and the other one's in the other one. Or one's in one country and the other one's in another country. It don't work. And I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people that married a girl from another country. And so I know what I'm talking about. But I will tell you this, I'll tell you as a matter of fact, that even though my wife moved with me to Canada and lived up there for since right the day after our honeymoon, and we went to Canada, and she left her folks and everything that was familiar, let me tell you, the church up there is quite different than our church, than the church she came out of. And the music was very different than the music that we had in our church, and the people, she didn't know anybody, she didn't have any relatives, she didn't have anything familiar. All she had to do was find out how to buy more and more winter clothing and, survive and so on. It was very different for her up there. But never once did she try to turn me back to her place, because she respected the commandment that said, my people will be your people. And whither thou goest, I will go. And she entrusted our future with me. She entrusted our future to God. And God worked it around, and it was not her desire to come back to the States. But God worked it around so that, I received an invitation to go and preach at a pastor, a little church in Ohio, and I did for 16 years, and God brought us back so we were within driving distance of her family, and it was really good. But, I've seen a lot of young couples where, one of them is out of place. They're in another church situation, and it's quite different, and they'll do anything they can to try to maneuver this situation back to this church, our church. Is doing this, and our church has this, and our church is having this coming weekend, and why don't we go back and visit our church, and constantly pulling, and you know what they're doing? They're taking it out of God's hands, and they're trying to do it themselves, and their heart should be, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, God's will has led me to where I am, and you know what, I'm going to trust him that he's going to bring me where he wants me to be, because there's some sort of design in all of this. And so he's telling Joshua exactly that. You can get depressed, you can get dismayed, you can get anxious, you can get troubled, and everything else. And he's saying you're going to have troubles. You're going to have differences. You're going to have situations that come up where you wonder, how's it going to be? But he's saying, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. The Lord thy God is with you wherever thou goest. Can anybody here say amen? Can anybody here relate to that? Now, I need just a couple of minutes here. In Isaiah chapter 31, woe to them that go down to Egypt. This is God speaking to Israel now, and they're not in Babylon yet. But this is the season where they're going into captivity. Now, I want you to watch now for the next little bit. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they're very strong. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Woe unto them. You're looking at natural strength. You're looking at natural horses here, and chariots and soldiers and horsemen. You're looking at the politics, and you're looking at the world. You're looking at your job. You're looking at your livelihood and all the rest of that. Now, the Egyptians are men. and not God. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. And when the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helping, which is the King James word, shall fall down. And they'll all fall together. You know what? People who put their trust in the wrong thing, they're all going to fall down. So don't do it. Horses are horses. Soldiers are soldiers. They're not God. Why do you drop down on that level all the time when I'm here to see you through? I know exactly where you are, and I know what it is that you're going through. And so in Hebrews chapter 2, which we read, Paul says, now I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Now I gotta go quickly here. But that verse is written about Jesus. Because in Hebrews chapter 2, 9, we read, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. God brought him down, and he humbled himself to the cross. And he was crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, Brother Bam helps us understand this. And I want you to follow this quote. People want power, but they really don't know what power is, and they don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down, always. The way up is down. And if you want power, you see how humble you can get. And get away from your worldly thinking and humble yourself before God. And then you've got more power than the man who runs all over the building and makes a lot of noise because you have been able to conquer yourself and commit yourself to Christ and humble yourself before him. That's really power. Let me tell you something, guys. When you can conquer yourself, you have a measure of power that a lot of people don't have. And when you girls can conquer yourselves in your own spirit and, you know, not be so caught up with reputation and finding a guy and looks and being in the right place, right time and having, you know, all the right friends. My friends. And having all of that, let me tell you, you've got power when you can get under that and bring it under subjection. People think, well, they want to have riches and wealth and positions and everything else, and they want to have power. They want to have ministries. They want to be like, you know, the pastor or, you know, some great minister that they know, and they have no idea what it takes to get there. They have no idea what is the story that brings them to that place. What's the narrative that he could tell you about getting to that place? And a lot of people fall into that trap, and they want to have no idea what goes with it. The last thing you want to do is pray for a ministry like Brother Branham. You would not want to have to go through that. But he said, show me a church that's real humble, not arrogant. You ever run into an arrogant church? Huh. I'll tell you what an arrogant church sounds like. You want to know? Noah, do you want to know? I'm just asking you because you look like you wanted to know. An arrogant church is a church that says, hey, and the young people say to the visiting young people that come there, if you're interested in me, you have to move here. Because this is where it's happening. This is the happening church. And you got to come here. Because I ain't going there. And they have an arrogance about them. I pray we never have that kind of arrogance about us here. Because you need to be where the Holy Spirit wants you to be. That's where you need to be. But Brother Bram says, "You show me a church that's real humble, not arrogant, but sweet and humble. And I'll show you a church that has the favor and power of God in it." Now, give me just a minute here, if you don't mind. Now, if you would, take your Bible. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. I'd like you just to look at this for a minute. I promise we'll wrap it up. I'm just finding a place to stop here. Isaiah chapter 8. So what we read in Hebrews chapter 2 is out of this chapter. And Paul in the book of Hebrews here is talking about Jesus. And remember now, Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. Right? Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Paul helps us understand that. He helps build that bridge so that we can see Christ in the Old Testament here. Now, I want you to watch here because Isaiah goes to the people of Israel. And in the first six verses here, he basically says, I want you to have a child by your wife. This is what he tells Isaiah. I want you to have a child. And when you have a child, I want you to name him this. And it's a big, long name that I'm not going to attempt. And he says in verse 4, before the child shall have knowledge to say, Dada and Mama, my father and my mother, before the child will know how to speak, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. In that time frame, before that child grows up and is capable of speaking, so we got maybe about, I don't know, 6 or 8 months or a year. If it's a girl, probably be a couple of weeks. But if this child, before it gets to speaking, you're going to see the overthrow of Israel and Samaria. The king of Assyria is going to come in and lay it all flat. And that's the prophecy that's given. So he has the child. And this warning then is given by Isaiah to the people, verse 7. Now behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, and even the king of Assyria. He's not talking about water now, he's talking about armies. And all of his glory, and he shall come up over all the channels and shall overflow the banks. In other words, to be an army that's beyond measure, and it will come and it will pass through Judah in verse 8 there. And he says in verse 9, associate yourselves, gather together. Go ahead and make yourselves a league. Join together with who you want to, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. You're going to go down anyway. There's nothing you're going to be able to do that's going to stop this. Verse 10, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it will not stand, for God is with us. God is with Israel. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me. Are you ready? The Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. God told me to tell you in strong language, don't you be like the people out there. Don't you copy their habits. Don't you assume a denominational position with this message. You know, in a denominational mindset, it's like, I can come to church and I can miss church. And I can pay my tithes and I don't have to pay my tithes. Matter of fact, in some church, it's unclear whether you should pay your tithes. Let me tell you something. In John Hagee's church in Texas, some of you might know John Hagee, he's an older guy now, but he's a mega church down there. He has 25 counselors on staff, marriage counselors on staff, whose job is to find ways to marry people who have been married before and want to marry again. 25 full-time counselors who work in the church to get people who want to be married. They're not qualified biblically, but they want to get married. And their job is to find a way around the scripture that allows them to be able to get married. So in other words, in a sense, the Bible it's like a speed bump. There is a way around it. You just got to be careful how you do it. And a denominational mindset says, well, you know, if I go to church Wednesday night, I don't have to go Sunday night. I can miss for this. I can miss for that. I can miss for something else. I can be baptized this way. I can be baptized that way. Are you hearing me? Because they live and worship without an absolute. They believe that worship is the music. And I have news for you. Worship is not music. Worship is the heart's cry of God's people thanking and worshiping the real true God. Music helps us do that and keep on track. But let me tell you, we don't glorify the music and the musicians and the performance and everything else. Hello? I better quit. I don't know. God told Isaiah, tell the people, don't you be like those people out there. You're separate, you're different, you're holy, you're Israel. And I'm going to stand for you. But I want you to realize that you are different and you are called. And verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Verse 18, behold, I and the children. Here it is. Here's Hebrews 2. Verse 17, let's look at 17. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the Lord, from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And Paul takes that phrase and he brings it right over into Hebrews chapter 2. And he's letting us know that this is exactly what Jesus said. That I have come down to identify with you as sinners and as the people of God, I have to trust in him to defeat the enemies that are coming against us. The king of Assyria is coming, and his army is going to be so big it's going to overflow the banks. But what Jesus did was he humbled himself. Remember the quotes I just gave you in the scriptures? He humbled himself even unto death on the cross, trusting that the God he submitted himself to would actually raise him from the dead before 3 days were out. Are you following me? And Jesus, Paul is taking this Jesus of the Old Testament, and he's letting us know that in the same way Jesus had to trust God, and he gave us an example of trust, you also have to trust God, because if we're going to get out of the grave, if we're going to make it into glory, we're going to have all of our trust and our confidence in God. He's the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. He's the one that will see us through. He's the one that, even if we go down in death in the grave, he's going to get us out of there and bring us into glory. We're going to trust that God has a body for us over on the other side. We're going to believe that and we're going to trust in that. And what Paul is teaching us is that that's exactly what Jesus did. He related to us. He identified with us. I and my brethren, we are one. We are the same. I came down to your level so that I could prove to you that when you put your trust in God, God will fulfill what he promised about you. It's going to happen. It did for me. It'll do for you. I was on the same basis as you. I had the same body as you did. I had the same struggles you did. I felt the same pains you would if you were on the cross. So I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to believe that somehow or another God's going to bring me out of that. And he did. Let me tell you, you might have, like a wood rat up here, with brain cancer, inoperable brain cancer up there. You know, and I've told you before about my mother. She had pain. She had some discomfort. She didn't have a history of sickness, but she went to the hospital, and she went to the doctor finally, and after a couple of weeks, and the doctor looked at her and said, Ms. Coffey, I'm sad to say to you, you have pancreatic cancer, and we are unable to treat the cancer, or are unable to do anything about it. It's far advanced, and that often is a problem with pancreatic cancer. They really can't do much about it. And they told her. The doctor said to her, "You have 2 months to live. That's what we estimate, is that you have 2 months left to live." She goes from being a healthy woman and goes in the hospital, and the doctor tells her, "You have 2 months to live." And so she comes home. I flew up, and my wife and I, we flew up, and I went to her, and I told you before, I used to sit on her bed and read out of the scripture to her. I just read to her, and it was comforting. And I asked her one time, I said, "Nan, what does it mean when the doctor looks at you and says, we're not going to treat you, we're just going to send you home, and you have 2 months to die?" And I said, "Here you are, you got a month and a half left. You know, what does that feel like? Tell me what, as a believer, what do you go through when you hear that from a doctor?" And she said, "Nothing." She said, this is what I've lived for. She said, "This is what I believe for, that there's a life beyond this life. And if I don't live any longer in this life, there's a life over there." And she said, "I wasn't afraid. I didn't get nervous. It didn't go like, ah, nothing at all." And that, you had to know my mother. That was kind of her nature. It was her way. But she said, "I felt the same way coming out of that doctor's office as when I went in. Except for the medical part, and should she have to take medicine or whatever else, but she said, I was the same person who came out of there as what I went in." And she said, "I believe God. I put my life in God's hands a long time ago." She said, "It's still there, and I'm going to trust him for the future." She said, "If I live, I'm a winner. If I die, I'm a winner. Either way, I'm a winner." I thought to myself, that's not what I was expecting. That's not what I was expecting when I asked her that question. But that's her testimony, and that's the testimony she maintained until she left this world. And I will tell you this, I don't know if I've ever told you, but I remember when she passed away, I was in the hospital room, my brothers were there, my sister, and we were in the hospital room, and there was a window right behind her bed. And I remember, we knew she was at the very end, taking the last breaths, you know. And when she stopped breathing, when she passed away and she was gone, and we knew she was gone, I even looked around to see if somebody had opened the window. I felt like there was a breeze, you know. I felt like, now this was winter, and I thought it was strange. And I thought, wow, why would somebody open the window at this particular point? And I looked around, and the window wasn't open. But it was like a breeze that just came through and took her, and she's gone. You know what she had? She had something that every one of us would want to have, and that is a complete trust that no matter how she left this world, that had nothing to do with her soul or the promise that God made to her that there's a body over on the other side. And I feel like for you, saints of God, Jesus has came down, and Paul is taking that verse, taking this out of Isaiah chapter 18, saying there's coming destruction. You know what? There's coming a real destruction. Assemble yourselves, he said. Associate yourselves together if you want to. Not going to matter. Nothing you can do that's going to prevent the destruction that's coming. And he says, the king of Assyria is coming, and that child is, my wife's child is born, and before he knows how to say my father and my mother, that king is going to come and wipe this whole thing out. And at that point, you better be on the right side. Wow. I don't think it'd be a spiritual stretch for us to take that lesson and apply it to today. Because we've had a prophet that said, hey, you can do what you want, but California is going to crack off and sink. And you know what? The world's going to end. Gentile dispensation is going to close up. God's going to turn to the Jews. There's going to be two Jews there. And once that happens, there ain't going to be Gentiles saved over here. So you know what? At that point, you're going to need to be on the right side or else you're going to wind up in tribulation, one or the other. There's no halfway place here. There's no in-between. Now there's an in-between, right? Some of you are in, you know, absolutely in neutral, trying to stay awake here because you've been that long. But I will tell you, at that point, there will be no neutral place. There'll be no middle ground. And you'll have to be in one place or the other. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to run the parallel between Isaiah chapter 8 here. And God says to them, hey, get your armies if you want. Assemble yourselves together. Associate who you want. Bring in whatever resources you want. This is going down. And that's the message we've heard since Brother Branham took the pulpit in the first place. Hey, we're at the end, folks. Here on the timeline, here we are, right at the very end. This is going down. This is happening here. And I'm here to call out a bride because a bride's not meant to go down. She's meant to go up. We are the remainers. Right? Because the Bible says, they which are alive and remain. You know what? We're remainers. I'm a remainer. I'm a remainer in Christ. I'm going to preach on that. I am a remainer. And that's exactly what we are. And we are still here. We are remaining and remaining until God decides to take his bride and take her out of here. And we'll be gone, changed in a moment, without death. And God's, hey, people of the world can do what they want. People who are against the message can do what they want. People who build websites against the message, they can do what they want. Doesn't matter at all. Assemble yourselves, associate, whatever you want. I will tell you what, God's got a people in the earth who trust him. God would not let this shut down until he's got every one of them in place and they have the right understanding of how they should trust in God. And I believe that we go through things in our church just like Brother John went through things to bring him to a personal understanding that God is there for you. Even when you haven't prayed, like Brother John said, you haven't read your Bible. Maybe you haven't been as astute as you should have been spiritually. And you know, we're going about our business in daily life and we're bothered by this and bothered by something else. But we don't realize that God is watching over us even in times like that. And God knows his plans for you having graduated yesterday and all you graduates that have, come through years of schooling and now there's a big wide part of the river that lays ahead. And, you know, we think, we wonder about this and wonder about that. Hey, God's got your back. We can, we can wonder about the future and I won't get married. Oh, hey, listen, God's got your back. I know exactly where this is going. I know exactly where you need to be before this thing winds up. And the worst thing you can do is worry about it all. The best thing you can do is trust in me. God says, do not be dismayed. I will be your strength. Let's stand to our feet. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that that's absolutely true. So what you want to do is learn to walk in agreement with God. You want to learn to walk in harmony with God and know that God is, He's not going to. Out here, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. God will make a way. Do you believe that today? So whatever your problem is, or you know, you may have put a prayer request up here, whatever the situation is, I just know a God who tells us back in His Word not to be dismayed. Brother David Cockman is listening this morning here, and Brother David needs a touch from the Lord, and I just trust and pray that God, who is able to reach out over space and time, that He'll touch David right where he is. Because our God can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Sister Carrie Whitlock's father came through this surgery. The doctor was very skeptical. They were very reluctant to do the surgery. He's home in 2 days. Has the surgery. He's home in 2 days. I'll tell you what, our God is still a miracle-working God. It's not just a figment of our imagination. Neither was it a function of Brother Branham's ministry. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that that's true. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, holding closely to His side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, holding closely to His side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way.
It's in our hearts.
And Lord, You've demonstrated You're a God we can trust in. Just like standing at the border of the promised land and telling Joshua, do not be dismayed. Do not lose heart and do not worry about what it is that lays ahead. For I will be with You even as I was with Moses. And so, Father, today as we press on and realizing, Lord, that our needs are great living in this world that's falling apart, Lord, You always have our back. You always have our best interest at heart. You're always building spiritual character. And, Lord, You're always in the business of leading us, Lord, towards the fulfillment of that promise You made for us. Have Your way now, we pray, Lord. Bring healing to those who need it. Father, minister to those who are giving their hearts in baptism today. And Lord, I pray that You would just be mindful, Lord, of the path that all of us are on, Lord. And we know that You have a design for all of us. We commit our ways to You now. We entrust ourselves in Your hands. In Jesus' lovely name and for Your glory. Amen. And amen. We're going to sing it again. We're going to turn over to Brother Jason. And he'll dismiss here. May God bless you today.
Make a way. He works new day. He will make a way. God will make a way.
Amen. You enjoy that this morning? I had three songs pop into my head when Brother Barry said we're going to speak on trust. We all know this song, Trust and Obey, For There's No Other Way. I know it's a little Sunday school song, but it's the first song I thought of.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but if blessed, if we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love. Unto all on the altar we lay, for the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Number 5085. I'm trusting You, Lord. I'm trusting You, key of D.
I'm trusting You, Lord. I'm trusting You. You've been so faithful. so true. You've never failed me like I failed you. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. Sing it again. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. You've been so faithful, and you've been so true. You never failed me like I failed you. Trusting you, Lord, I'm trusting you.
Catherine's had a desire for a good while to surrender her life to Christ, and so we're thankful for that and thankful that she is now able to act on that and surrender her life to Christ. And we've talked about this and talked in the scriptures and gone through what it means to make this decision. And so the very best thing you can do at this point in life is just to entrust your future to God and just give Him every day. Wake up every day and give every day to Him. And like I've told all of our young people, that seed in us knows what to do. It knows how to become what it's meant to become. And so we're going to trust in that. Let's pray together. Catherine, give me the other hand, this one. You hold your nose with that one when we go down. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Catherine and her desire to walk in newness of life and to surrender and submit her life to you. We know, Lord Jesus, that this is your work in her life to draw her to the promise. And we know it's not the hand of the enemy. And so we're thankful, Lord. And I pray now you'd receive her. I pray you'd forgive her of her sins. I pray, dear God, that you would destroy that old nature. And Lord, may she walk in newness of life. I commit her to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Catherine, based on your desire to walk in obedience to the scripture, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't God good? Man, He's been doing some amazing things, men, in our assembly. I like to sing as we get ready to dismiss, a key of G, keep on the firing line. Amen. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, just keep on the firing line. And if you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Oh, keep on the firing line. For there are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, you will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. And God will only use a soldier He can trust. Just keep on the firing line. And if you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Just keep on the firing line. Life is but a labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Reign to be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must find, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. And when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Just keep on the firing line.
praise the Savior for the call we had. Just keep on the fiery line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the fiery line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fiery line. Oh, you must be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fire one more time. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Run or even lag behind. If you would win God and the right, just keep on firing line.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're gonna let you go. Brother Milan, why don't you come and dismiss us in prayer. Had a wonderful evening with the family. Yesterday, he's a wonderful brother. We're going to miss you, even though I got to meet you once, but God bless you.
Lord, we look outside in the world and we see the nature that's forming around us, Lord. The nature of the one side of the force that we're fighting against, Lord. But when we look at your people, Lord, we saw your nature, Lord Jesus. Lord, we see how you are manifesting in your people, Lord. And Lord, we know, as that song just said, that we should just keep on the firing line, Lord, and you will do the work. Lord, we praise your mighty name to know that you are in control. Lord, we thank you for what we heard this morning, Lord, that we should not be dismayed, Lord, and that we should not look afar off, but that we should look at you, Lord, and just keep our eyes on you. Lord, I'm reminded of the prophet's word where he said that we should not keep our eyes or take our eyes off of you for one moment, else we will miss it, Lord. We just ask that you will keep us close to you, Lord, that you would press the battle in us, Lord, and bring us to the victory that you've promised for us. We thank you for this morning, Lord. We just place our lives in your hands again. And we ask that you would carry us forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As you're dismissed, let's sing this.
Well, everybody will be happy with...
I'm in the wrong key. I'm sorry. I was really happy. I put us in the wrong key.
Everybody will be happy with... happy over there, where we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Sing it again. Oh, everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there, where we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon his glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and will live forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There will be nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy, will be happy. over there. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. God bless you, dismiss. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Well, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody.